It's Thursday, September 9th. I'm Jeff Schwartz alongside Matt Ford. This is Jeff Schwartz of Smarter Than You. Matt, we have made it officially to the start of the NFL season. That means Thursday's episodes, the one you're listening to now, will focus on wagering of all the NFL games and some college football now this year. So we're going to go through some college football games I like, games Matt liked. There's some big games this weekend, especially from my alma mater, the Oregon Ducks. And we're going to go through every NFL game, all 16 of them, and pick our five favorite wagers. We will enter into a contest this year, and we'll see how good we are. Last year, Matt, remember, 41-40-4. The last week of the year, we went 4-1 to get above 500. Hopefully this year, guys, we make you some money along the way, because last year, 41-40-4 gets you no money, either direction. So, Matt, how excited are you to start this season-long process?
Extremely excited, Jeff. I'm so glad we're here. This is the best time of the year. Hope springs eternal. It's time we can win some money. We're not even in the black or the red. We're dead even right now. And that's, we have days left. We have one day left before our first bet comes in. So let's enjoy this while we can. I do want to use my platform here, yes, if you will, to talk about something that happened last night. I'm surprising you with this, Jeff. So last night, I had my fantasy draft for the 19th year with my friends from back home, okay, in Baltimore. And we do it for some reason on CBS Sports. That's just where we did it in 2002 when we started this thing. And we've just kept it there. So last night we sign on and it's a Tuesday night at 8:30. Like, it's not, I don't think this is like ideal draft time. We get on, first three picks are made. The site crashed. CBSSports.com, all of the fantasy crashed. You went on Twitter last night, everyone was tweeting, CBS Sports, WTF, like our fantasy draft is tonight. What do we do now? It took until 11:30 for our draft room to open. We did it via a Google spreadsheet and all of us on Zoom taking each other's picks because no one could keep track of anything. CBS, get your shit together. What the hell, man?
That's incredibly bad for CBS. They're not a sponsor of ours, so we can make fun of them for this. You can't have your fantasy football website crash right when the season's about to start.
You can't. It's by the way, we're not playing Fortnite on there. We're clicking draft next to one guy's name. It's like the easiest thing to run of all time.
Correct.
I'm curious if anyone else got an outage last night. I want to hear about it. Tweet at us. But unbelievable, bad job by CBS. Off to, if that goes anything like my betting this football season, we're in trouble because we're off to a dreadful start. It's like everyone's staying home. Like, can we get our shit together here? Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, that's not good, especially again, since fantasy football is so big. I have a fantasy football team this year, and I'm just not excited about it. Like, I just did it because a bunch of people are doing it. They're so much more into it. I did a little auto draft, a little real draft in real time. Like, I have so much going on with gambling. It's hard to do fantasy at the same time.
Yeah, I had to beg out of a few invites into more pools. It's like, I just can't. I'm overextended. Like, I got to keep my focus, you know, crystal clear on what I'm doing. And not sounding like an idiot on this podcast is a top focus
of yours. Well, let's get to some games, and we'll start with some college games, Matt. What do you want to start with?
Let's get to college football, Jeff. We've got 1 week in the books. You and Gabe talked at length about it in our previous shows this week, so let's just look ahead. There's a big game with your alma mater, Jeff. Ohio State at Oregon. Oregon, huge underdogs, but you're wearing an Oregon t-shirt right now.
I am, yes.
So why don't you give us your take here, and I'll immediately start to prepare points about why Ohio State's going to cover.
Yeah, so I'm going to take Oregon here, but not because... No, I actually don't wager on Oregon very often, just because as a fan, right? Because it's hard to like wager, I think, on your favorite team. That would just not be good, right? I think overall it's not good. But nonetheless, look, here's a couple reasons why. And reminder, we're taping this Wednesday afternoon. So the numbers we give you now is what we have to give you, right? If the number changes, that's up to you to choose whether or not you see the value in that line moving, right, in a certain direction. So we're just giving you as it is right now. Right now, Oregon is getting 14.5 points at Ohio State. It could vary from book to book, but that's about where it's at right now. Some it's at 15, some it's at 14, some at 14.5. So before the Fresno State game, which Oregon struggled in last week, this line would have been 10, Matt. So you get a 4 extra points for Oregon struggling against Fresno State. when some of the struggles can be traced to doing nothing on offense. Now, it's about Ohio State very quickly.
It's a concern.
Well, I'll explain what to Ohio State very quickly. I wrote 1,000 words on this game for Fox Sports, by the way. So, like, I am ready for this game. Ohio State looked like they should against Minnesota. Started a little slow, brand new quarterback at TJ Stroud, but they had 6 scores over 30 yards, explosive play offense. Defensively, injured in the secondary, and run defense still not very good. So they look like they should, right? CJ Stroud, again, little struggles early on, play a little better as the game went on. They won by 2 scores. They're going to score a bunch of points against Oregon. It's a matter of if Oregon can hold them to 35 points while scoring, you know, 28, 27 points and cover the game, right? That's what this comes down to. Oregon defensively, Kayvon Thibodeau, best pass rusher in the country. He's nicked up in the Fresno game. He had a pressure, a strip sack. Hopefully he's healthy. I just saw Mario Cristobal, the head coach, said that he's day-to-day. They bring back 2 secondary pieces who were suspended. They're back this week. They're going to sit in zone is what they do with their new DC and kind of keep everything in front of them. So the explosive plays aren't going to be there, in my opinion, that we saw against Minnesota. Matt, who's safety, I don't know if he could run a 5-flat. Like, this was, it wasn't going to a good matchup. Now, Oregon offensively is the concern, right? Because you have to score 28 to 35 points to cover this game if you're not going to win, obviously. And Anthony Brown's their quarterback. Anthony Brown is a Boston College transfer. It's his 4th year starting. He is what he is. He is mostly average, all right? He, when in rhythm, in stride, he can make the throws, but far too often, he misses. He's either late, he makes the wrong read, and doesn't go to the right guy. The run game this past week, a little early on, struggled a little bit early, but then second half was fine. But it's very clear to me that they left a lot of the offense out of the playbook against Fresno. They're a big RPO team, which is a run-pass option. They leaked the tight end the flat a bunch. There's a lot of things they didn't do. Play-action pass very much. There's a lot of offense left that they've left for Ohio State. Lastly, Oregon has played down to opponents. No doubt about it, right? Mario Cristobal's only covered 5 home games, Matt, in his career at Oregon. But he's won 17 of 18 home games. Like, he wins his home games, doesn't cover. But when it's a big game, he's beaten Washington twice, our rival. And they've been good with Chris Peterson. We'll get to them in a second, by the way, for this year. USC, 2-0 against USC. Beat Wisconsin in a Rose Bowl. Beat Utah in a Pac-12 championship game when Utah was the 5th team in the country. They mollywopped them, right? So his team is the Auburn game. Should have won the Auburn game, right? We are ready to play in big games. We'll be right. But I think 14.5 is too many points. It's just too many points. If it was 13.5, maybe Ohio State. I get that extra hook there as well. I would take the 4. I think this line comes back down by kickoff.
This is a good lesson if you're sort of new or brushing up on your betting about the key numbers, right? Like 14, maybe you feel one way about it. The 14.5 gives you a real advantage if you do like Oregon. I mean, I think the Thibodeau thing obviously is huge. One interesting little nugget here, Jeff, when Oregon goes on the road, the under has hit 14 of the last 20 games, 10 of the last 12 is an underdog. So that would support you if they keep Ohio State from scoring constantly. And this thing goes under the 63.5, I think is the latest line that I see. Then in theory, then this game should be fairly close. I mean, I think the 14.5, if you can get it, is probably the play, and maybe that under. Is that tasty to you?
Yeah, I could see. I don't have a take on the total. I think most people are going over on the total, but I could see this being a defense. Look, Oregon covers in a low scoring game, right? Like that. So if you're rooting for the cover, you also probably take the under.
Yeah.
And I think Oregon, if you think Oregon wins, the under is probably the play, right? It's probably an under game for Oregon to win. I'm not sure they're gonna, you know, put up 48 points to beat Ohio State in the shoe.
Yeah, that doesn't seem totally likely from a team that had 3 plays over 20 yards last week.
Yeah.
That's a little bit concerning.
A couple other numbers here, by the way. Ryan Day is only 3-3 versus spread outside the Big Ten since 2019. He didn't cover 3 home games last year. Now, again, there's fans in the crowd, so it'll be a little different now. So he's 6-5 in the shoe, it looks like, in home games. So against the spread. But again, last year, kind of have to throw out. But 3-3 outside the spread since 2019 outside conference. So something to consider.
Oregon 2-7 against the spread in their last 9 as a road dog. A little concerning, especially with no crowds in those last
A lot of that was skewed. When are we even road dog? I mean, Oregon's like, I can't imagine when last time Oregon's been a lot of, I mean, that's over years, right?
Yeah, it's got to be.
Yeah. I mean, we haven't been road dog since like Willie Taggart years, which is a long time ago.
Willie Taggart.
I'm going Oregon here. obviously, you can come argue with me on this. All right, I want to move this along because we got a lot of NFL to get to.
Lots to get to. Yeah, Michigan hosting Wisconsin in prime time. That's, wow, tough start of the season for Dylan Morris, who you compared to Gabe Goodwin, my fellow co-host.
That might be too harsh on Gabe there. So I'm taking the under. I'm taking the under in this game. This under opened, by the way, at 50. I got it at 51. It's now at 48.5.
It's like an NFL total.
I would take it. Yeah. But here's the deal, dude. 99% of the money is on the over. And 99% of the money is on the over. That's wild to me. And let me explain why. So Washington scored 7 points against Montana. We talked about them on Tuesday's show or Monday's show. And I think people have the inclination to say, hey, week one, they played poorly. They're going to be better this week. But the issues they had weren't like Montana issues. They were just bad football issues. Dylan Morris not finding open wide receivers, not finding them on target. Offensive line just missing easy things Montana was doing. Michigan's defense can play football. Aiden Hutchinson is a top-tier pass rusher. I'm not sure they can score. On the flip side, Washington's defense, guys, is really good. The opening drive, they allowed a field goal. Over the next 9 drives to Montana, they allowed 33 yards. They're always good on defense. Michigan, on the other hand, offensively, Ronnie Bell's out, their best wide receiver. When he got hurt in the Western Michigan game, they just packed everything in, run the football. So we have two teams that want to run the football, two teams that will definitely kick field goals over going for it on fourth down in the red zone. So that's a couple extra points here and there. They play defense, and all the money's on the over. Give me the under.
Under's 10-3 in Washington's last 13 as an underdog.
They suck on offense. Their offense sucks.
Yep. Yeah, I guess you're going to avoid taking a side in this. I'm curious
if you have any faith in
Washington.
Okay. I would take Michigan, yeah.
Yeah. Tough start for Washington to go from rank to having their quarterback compared to a almost 40-year-old dad. Not great. Okay, I'm with you there. Great rivalry game is our third game here. Iowa State. As of our recording now, we've got Iowa State as 4.5-point road favorites. The total, another low total at 46. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to pound the under again in this game. The under has gone 12 of 15 times in this matchup. The last two games, by the way, were 13-3 and 18-17. You have two really good defenses here, right? Iowa's defense had 2 pick sixes. In the game against Indiana. If you take those out, their offense scored 20 points against Indiana. And one of those was a 56-yard touchdown run. So I don't see them scoring against Iowa State. Iowa State has a stout defense. And vice versa, Iowa State put up 16 points against some northern Iowa or something like that. And they always struggle in week one. But conversely, I think Iowa has a really good defense. We have two really elite defenses. Iowa's quarterback is not that great. Now, Iowa State, Brock Purdy can play a little bit, but I'm going with under here again. I know it's not fun to bet unders, but that's where I feel more comfortable here.
Isn't there some kind of weather? Was I reading this somewhere that there's some kind of big weather thing happening in the Midwest this weekend? I feel like that was something that I saw because the under seemed to be like what a lot of sharps are doing in these Midwest games. But
There's a lot of wind this weekend, I think.
Yeah, I was reading about some like very obscure games and everyone was like, take the under because of the weather, but who cares? Yeah, this is always a fun game. It's nice that it's scheduled so early this year. All right, so we're taking a lot of unders to start here. What do you think about, we have another game out west to wrap us up here. Utah, the Alex Smith versus Zach Wilson Bowl, Utah at BYU. We've got Utah road favorites by 7 right now. Another low total at 48. What's your read here?
Yeah, so this is the holy war, and Utah's won 9 straight games. Now, they're favored by 7 at BYU. The play here to me is Utah. I know we're staying out west a bunch here. The games out east aren't great. I might give you a couple picks in a second of where I'm leaning some games if you want to, for people that live out east and want to get in some action. So I'll give you a couple of those in a second of where I'm leaning on, you know, Texas and where I'm leaning on as a Mississippi State game as well and some other games I have some thoughts on. But Utah last weekend played Weber State. It was up and down game, but they have a quarterback, Charlie Brewer from Baylor, who can play. Bunch of drop passes, plugged them. Their offensive line is beat up a little bit, but they get most of their guys back this week. Defensively, we know they're good. But BYU went to Vegas to play Arizona. And Matt, Arizona is a dumpster fire. They're going to win 2 games this year. And they won 24-16 with a defensive score. they just didn't play great on offense. They allowed 345 yards to Arizona. They have a dual quarterback system right now in Arizona. I think Utah's primed here. Some good numbers here as well. Utah's 5-0 against the spread the last five meetings at BYU, and they're 9-1 against the spread in their last 10 games following a win. Like, they'll get better from week one to week two because they're a very well-coached team.
I like it. I'm spoiler alert, I'm not a big fan of taking road favorites in the NFL here, but you've sold me there. Give us a few more to close us out before we move on to the pros.
I think Texas goes in Arkansas again. Another, it's a road favorite, so it's not something ideal. But I think they cover the 7 here. Arkansas, just offensively, I thought Texas looked good, man. They're not back, but they looked much better than I expected. And I know it's going to be on the road, and Sark's first time on the road, and whatever that Hudson card, I think it's his name. I know his name's Hudson, I think. I'm sure Hank will yell in our stream yard about me mispronouncing his name. Bijan Robinson, the running back, played well. I think that they're primed for a good opportunity here to get their second win. You know, I don't like a lot of like home dogs this week. I mean, we don't have a lot of them, which we'd like to kind of to pry on, right? I mean, Cal getting 11.5 at TCU, that seems a little bit off. I'm trying to find little places to take home favorites, but I can't find, I mean, home dogs, man, I can't find it. Not a lot of home dogs this week that I like.
Yeah, it's after that first week, this feels like that things start to reset a little bit in a lot of these matchups. Hey, how about Tua's brother and my Maryland Terrapins last week? Did you catch any of that?
I will be honest. I watched the whole game. No, who they play? I have no idea.
they beat West Virginia, and Tua's brother, I don't even know how to say his first name, but Tolea, I think, looked awesome. Very, very intriguing one back east to keep your eye on. But speaking of Tua, and let's just get to the NFL.
Let's
Jeff.
Do it, guys. I am so excited for this.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I can't believe we're talking about the second week of college football in the first week of the NFL. Jeff, we have a game Thursday night. Oh, by the way, we're going to pick 5 of these games, right? We're going to go through each. Yeah. We're going to talk about some totals along the way if we like any, but we're going to go through all of them and land on 5. We have to agree on them.
We don't have to. We can get close.
Jeff can pull rank. It's his show, but it's sort of a three-legged race concept here. So let's get started. Cowboys at Bucks. We're getting 8.5 at the time we're recording this for Tampa. The total is 52. Man, that number really has shifted in the last few days.
Yeah, it's gone up. It's ballooned up. I mean, this is a game that's not playable for me, right? I mean, we don't play many Thursday night games. You know, the champion, I think, has covered the last couple of games in week one. But I don't know what we're getting from Dallas, right? With Dak Prescott not playing the preseason, Zach Martin out on the, I don't know what we're getting from them. I really don't. So everyone's going to, you know, play money on the Bucks, but I'm not doing it. You know, Thursday night football, we don't play it very much, I think for good reason. I don't have a play here.
Yeah, we're not getting a good number. If you listened to this show a few months ago and trailed Jeff and I know I did. I bet this at 6.5 for Tampa a few months ago, knowing that this would happen. Feel good about that. Here's the funny thing, Jeff. Tom Brady, 14-4 straight up in week one in his career, okay? 3 of those losses in week one, his team went to the Super Bowl that year.
No way.
This guy's unreal, man. 8.5 is way too much. The best number's gone. I don't know. I don't even really have a read on this, but I do like Tampa to win.
I don't either. That's why we're just not doing this game.
Yeah. Interesting. Everybody wants a taste, so everyone's pounding Tampa. There's going to be some public that are disappointed about that. All right, so no pick there. Let's move to a game we've talked a lot about on this show already. That's Seattle at the Colts. The Seahawks are 2.5-point road favorites. The total's at 50. Who knows what Colts are showing up this weekend? We still don't know that as of recording time Wednesday afternoon. What do you think?
So I liked Seattle when they were getting 3 points, 3 months ago in this game. I think I actually bet them at plus 3. But going through zero is not that big of a number, right? Like, it's not, you shouldn't really move off that opinion, right? So I'm good with Seattle here at -2.5. You get under a field goal still, but for a couple of reasons. One is, the Colts under Frank Reich have struggled a lot in week one. So they lost to the Bengals in 2018, 34-23. Mm-hmm. In 2019, they lost to the Chargers in overtime by 6. And last year, they were Jacksonville's only win of the season. They lost 27-20 to Jacksonville. We have a Colts team with Carson Wentz who did not play all of preseason. It's coming off an injury. We have a team trying to, the offensive lineman in and out because of COVID. I think Seattle, who's been pretty bad as a road favorite, I will admit that, right? I mean, they have not been good as a road favorite. I will go Seattle here -2.5.
I'm with you. Also bet them +3 a few months ago. I'll stop high-fiving myself soon, promise. Indy was only 3-5 against the spread at home last year, and Seattle under Russell Wilson has won 77% of their games in the East Coast time zone. That's just kind of interesting. I don't know. Fisher coming back from the Achilles and COVID. Nelson coming back.
I'm not sure. Is he starting this week?
I don't know that yet. But the fact that there's that much up front, including the quarterback, that's still unknown this close to a game against Seattle. I can't tell if this is a trap and it's too, like, Vegas knows something about the Colts, or that this is like an easy chance to take Seattle and cash the ticket.
I mean, I think people are higher on Wentz than me and you are.
Well, everyone on Earth is higher on Wentz than you are.
I know he's out all preseason. I don't see it, man. I just don't see it.
Well, he hasn't practiced enough because of the foot and all that stuff. So I'm still on Seattle here. I think this will be a fun game, but I could see this one being a pretty easy no sweat win for Seattle.
I hope so.
All right, so we'll put that in the mix. Man, there's such good games this week. The next one is Pittsburgh at Buffalo. Buffalo's laying 6.5. The total's 48.5. Interesting one.
This is I want no part of this game. This is not. Look, I think Buffalo's gonna be really good again this season. Are we certain Josh Allen will have the same season he had last year? I mean, that's a pretty dang good season, man. But even then, it's too many points. I don't think Pittsburgh's a playoff team, but I think they're a quality team still. They have a new offensive line they're debuting, but Buffalo's debuting some new pass rushers as well, right? Pittsburgh has a new defense, new offensive coordinator as well. I think it's just too many points in a game where we have two quality teams.
Yeah, I think if you can wait till this goes to 7, pull the trigger on Pittsburgh, it might go to 7.5 if you get lucky. I just think that this is priced at Buffalo's ceiling and Pittsburgh's floor, basically. Like, Pittsburgh, I think people just are counting out Pittsburgh because they were so bad at the end of the season last year. But these two teams played last year, and it was right when
very
Pittsburgh's
game,
tailspin
yeah.
started. Yeah, Buffalo ended up winning by 11. But Pittsburgh, it was just a nightmare game. They had 47 rushing yards. Ben Roethlisberger threw a pick 6, and it still was close until the very end. I just feel like Buffalo is the public team right now. And
oh, they're for sure the public team. I mean, I imagine they're getting a ton of money on Buffalo. I'm going to check right now just to make sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of the money's on. Oh, actually, there's some reverse
a lot of the bets.
Yeah, a lot of the bets are on Buffalo, yeah.
Yeah, but only 38% of the money. The sharps are coming in on Pittsburgh. I personally like Pittsburgh enough at 6.5 to put them in consideration. But it's, you know, it the Bills cover games. Like, they're a great team. Yes. That's not a fun one to bet on. So
yes.
Maybe wait till 7 there. Another game that, well, this one I have, let me see. Let me go follow our actual order. A game I have no read on, Jeff, is this Arizona at Tennessee game. Tennessee's favored by 3. High total at 52.5. I seriously have no clue what this line is or why it's priced this. I have no clue what to do with this.
Remember we said last year we're not going to bet Arizona anymore? You know, we can't bet teams with bad coaches. We just can't do it. And their coach is not good. And until proven otherwise, I don't think he's any good. And I saw their offense in the preseason just look like blah again. Again, the Titans' defense has a lot to do to be better. And they have to, you know, play some young guys on in their back end. Elijah Molden, add some pass rushers. We got to see them play pretty well to have an idea there. They lost their OC in Arthur Smith, which will be a big concern as far as what their offense will be this year with Ryan Tannehill. But I don't have a read on Tennessee. I don't have and I think Arizona's a bum team. I can't do anything in this game.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of this one either. There's part of me that's like, wait, is this like the most obvious Tennessee pick of all time? But then there's this other part of me that's like, yeah. Wait, can you actually trust that? Kingsbury 1-0-1 in week one.
A couple things here. Huh? The Cards are 10-6 versus the spread in first half the last two seasons.
Huh.
Kingsbury started off as a really good against the spread as a dog, 13-4-1, but he's 0-4 since then. Also been under 13 of 20 games, his last 20 games. So, yeah, over is 7-1 at home in the regular season last year for the Titans.
So this is a good time to bring up my general theory on the totals. So remember that last year, the totals, when we came out of the gate, the totals were obscene. Like every week, the first like 3 or 4 weeks of the season, every over hit. Do you remember that? It was like, it was constant. And it makes sense when there's no road fans, like the quarterbacks can do whatever they want. They can take their time. They can communicate. They can change the play. They can do all that stuff. I think we're going to see a big adjustment at the beginning of the season where like these crowds, like we'll get to some of these later, but Tennessee, like, they obviously had a bunch of fans last year, but there are going to be some crowds that are rabid, and it is going to be intense for these, especially younger quarterbacks. Maybe Kyler Murray's one of them who comes out and is like, holy hell, what is going on? Arizona last year was 11-5 to the under. I think that this is one of the higher totals this week. I think the under is a good play here, even though both these teams have bad defenses. I'm seeing it at 52.5 at the moment.
I'm with you there. So we're not going to play this game in our contest. All right, let's move it along.
Don't you dare try to talk me into this, Jeff. This is the 49ers laying 7.5 at Detroit. Do not make a case for the 49ers.
How many points the Lions score in this game?
Dude, just don't do it. You don't win money betting a road favorite by 7.5 in week one. It's not how you win money.
Well, week one, I would argue, is the time to do it, right?
No.
Because the Niners are fresh. They're healthy. I'm surprised it's only 7.5. The final score of this game is 31-13, and you know that.
Okay, here's the thing, Jeff. Last year, there were two road favorites of over 3 points in week one. There were no fans, so it's an advantage for those road favorites to go in and win on the road. Guess what happened to both of those road favorites that were laying more than 3 last year, Jeff?
What?
They both lost straight up. That's what happens. The Colts lost to the Jags and Philly lost to Washington. Okay, there were some 3-point spreads that went either way, but 7.5, this is why the casinos are big. This is what happens. People like us bet on a huge road favorite in the first week of the season when everybody's healthy. Like there's no health problems anywhere. This is a huge statement game for Detroit. Like if they get crushed in this game, their season's kind of done, right? Like they're not going to put up a huge fight with Jared Goff if they just shit the bed in week one. They're not a good team. The 49ers, like, are they going to come out there and try to run up the score here? No, they're going to grind it out. If they're up by 14, they're just going to hand it off a million times. They're not going to go out there and, you know, go deep to George Kittle with Jimmy Garoppolo back there. This is going to be closer than people think.
Unless they go hard in the second half because Trey Lance is playing.
But why would they? Why would they do that?
I'm just saying, when this game is 31-13, you'd be like, "Dang, we should have put this in the contest."
But is that your case that Trey Lance might come in and therefore it goes against every betting principle you can ever think of to take this?
I mean, it's a terrible bet, but
it's a terrible bet.
But I really feel like they're gonna win this game by a lot of points. But it's not a smart bet because there's better bets on the board.
I've done my job if I've talked us out of doing that one, because there is just no way I'm comfortable.
You knew I was leaning that direction.
I did, because it's like the squarest pick of all time. We can't do it. If anything.
Well, I'm not a square better though, but yes.
But it's one that everyone looks at and is like, the Lions suck. Like, we got to do it.
Okay. Well, let's do the next one because we both agree on this one.
Yeah. All right. Let's kumbaya about the Washington football team getting a point against the Chargers at home.
Yeah, the play here is Washington. Yeah, look,
let's fly.
And this is a good testament to what you said about crowds being back, right? Justin Herbert last year had a great season, but he didn't play in front of many crowds. Now he goes to Washington to play possibly the best front seven in football, and they have a brand new left tackle. And I like Rashawn Slater, but it's a tough start for him against Chase Young. Yes, he played well against him in college, but this is not college anymore, right? Also, it's also worth noting, Washington played their starters in the preseason. Like, they had some action. The Chargers did not. Mm-hmm. So the Washington's going to kind of get the feel of the game early on. Like, they've been playing. Chargers did nothing. You have a brand new head coach who's on the road to face Ron Rivera. I think Washington wins this game. I'll take the point here. One of my favorite of the weekend.
Me too. You mentioned Herbert against the defenses. Last year, the only like very good defense he played last year in the schedule was the Bucs. But that was with 10,000 fans. It was the first week that the Bucs had any fans at Ray J. So I think he is going to be flabbergasted by what he sees. Remember, the Washington top corner, they signed one of the top corners in free agency in William Jackson. They drafted a new middle linebacker. Everyone knows about their front four. They're going to be relentless. The home crowd last year didn't get a lot to cheer about, number one. And number two, they weren't there. This crowd's going to be hot. I think this is a great chance to fade one of the most public teams
out there,
the Chargers.
I'm in.
Oh, my God. The Eagles at the Falcons. The Falcons are three-point favorites. Are you going to make the case for your Falcons every year? Every single year, you're a Falcons fan at the beginning of the season, and then yes, they kill you. Let's hear it this year.
What confidence do you have in the Eagles playing well in this game?
Well, I'm curious what confidence you have in Atlanta playing in this game.
Because Arthur Smith can coach. Like, he can coach offense. Like, we know he can coach offense. Now, obviously, Atlanta's defense, there's some room for improvement. But I just like Arthur Smith a lot as a coach. I think it's foolish to play him in this first opening weekend before we see what he actually is. But the Falcons will score points this year. They're going to play well. Now, defensively, again, they need a big improvement. I think in 2 or 3 weeks, we'll start playing the Falcons more as people don't respect them. But I think there's other games here we like. I think we do. We only have two on the board right now, but I would be okay taking the Falcons here at -3.
I think the Arthur Smith thing has been really interesting to watch because he was one of those coaches that like 2 years ago, no one had heard of as the offensive coordinator, you know, and everyone would do their list of Peter Schrager would do his list of like, here are the coordinators that are going to be coaches. Everyone was like, who the hell is Arthur Smith? And now everyone's like, well, he's going to be 1,000 times better than Dan Quinn. Like, we don't know that. And we certainly don't know that in week one. The only thing I will say here, to your point about the Eagles, is this might be the only chance to bet against the Eagles where they're priced somewhat fairly. Like, this is Nick Sirianni's first game as a head coach. It's Jalen Hurts on the road. Again, we talked about the fans at length already. The Falcons don't have to do a whole hell of a lot to score against this defense. I, after all that, would be open to playing the Falcons here just because I think the Eagles are that trash.
Yeah, this is more of an anti-Eagles wager than is like a pro-Falcons wager, right? I don't believe in Nick Sirianni, and you know they just traded for a quarterback. Like, how confident can you be in Jalen Hurts, and they just traded for a guy? Like, it just, and the money is pretty even, so there's no real lean there, right? But I think Atlanta will be worth the play here. We can maybe save it in our back pocket if there's other games.
Fair enough. Like, I want to note that in the rundown here, shout out to Hank, our producer, who says Tony Romo said that he thinks the Eagles could go 10-6. 11-5, which, by the way, they can't go this year.
All right.
He also said Zach Wilson might be a top five quarterback this year. Like, what's happening with Tony Romo? Like, come back to earth, buddy.
I have no idea what's happening.
Here's one where we're gonna really have it out. It's the Jaguars at the Texans. Geez. The Jaguars are road favorites, laying 3 at Houston. Do you want me to start?
I mean, you have to bet the Texans.
Yes. So this is
you don't have a choice. I'm sorry, people listening, but this is like the sharpest play you're gonna have all week. You have to bet the Texans.
So when everyone's like, I don't want to bet the Texans. It's like, that's why this is the price. So Jacksonville, why are they favored? They have a rookie quarterback. Number one overall picks are 1-6-1 against the spread since 2000 in week one. And their first starts, they're 3-11-1 against the spread. Andrew Luck, who is like the best case scenario of all these quarterbacks, he started 11-5 his rookie season. He lost 2 of his first 3 games, including a 20-point loss in week one to a team coached by Lovie Smith. I get that Houston sucks. I get that you have a bet in that they might not win a game this whole season. I get it. But they're starting Tyrod Taylor. He's 26-19-3 against the spread. This is a veteran team who knows, like, Mark Ingram and Brandon Cooks, they suck, but they know how to play. Like, we don't know if Trevor Lawrence knows how to play. We don't know if the, like, goofy LaVisca Chenault offense is going to be a thing, or if Urban Meyer can coach. Like, I just think that this is a really good chance to bet the Texans, because they're and then next week fade them no matter what.
Yeah. There's also 59% of the wagers and 80% of the money are on Jacksonville. Oh.
Yeah, this is like betting principles 101. If I'm wrong, fine. But this is the time you bet the Texans here, and you don't watch the game. You just wait till the money hits your account.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, this is, and you know, we joked about this over text messages the other day. But you're right. I mean, this is everything that we have here as far as the principles that we have. Are this is home divisional dog, right?
Yep.
And a rookie quarterback, a brand new head coach, a brand new offense. And really, Jacksonville's not a very talented team, right? I mean, defensively, they're not. Offensively, James Robinson, Chenault, I think. But I'm good. I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it.
Let's put it in, man. Like, this is one that I'm willing to go down on.
You hold your nose and bet this.
Yep. This is, I feel like, Jeff, we're starting the season. It's like we're starting a diet, and we're like, it's January 2nd, and we're like, all right, like, you know, we got to eat a salad on day one. That's what we're doing right here. We have to eat our vegetables in order to bet like a 9-point road favorite in week 3, which we definitely will. Speaking of road favorites, Vikings laying 3.5 at the Bengals. This is, I think, one of the most confusing games of the week.
Yeah, I have no lean on this game. I think we normally would take the Bengals here on the points, because I don't trust the Vikings this year. But I don't know. The Vikings, Bengals offensive line, don't know what I'm getting with. Jamar Chase hasn't looked good. Defensively, some young parts on defense you have to see playing a real game. I got nothing here, Matt. What do you have?
I have nothing here either. I think that I can't tell if we're buying low on the Bengals or buying low on the Vikings. This was just a pass for me. I'm sorry to listeners that I don't have anything smarter to say. I just don't know what to do.
Worth pointing out, Vikings 6-11 against the spread the last 17 games. So
yeah,
haven't been great at covering, but I can't back the Bengals here. Even that hook is pretty juicy though.
Yeah.
There's other wagers I think we like coming up in just a second.
Let's talk about it. It's one of them, the Kansas City Chiefs laying 6 to the Cleveland Browns in the game of the week.
It's such a public play. I can't do it, but I think it's the right. Actually, I think it's the right wager. Mahomes and Andy Reid have played 3 openers. They averaged 37 points in those openers. They are going to put up points in this game, right? They come up with new schemes, new ways to do things. They look good in the preseason. They play in the preseason. You know, if the Chiefs score, let's say they score their average 37 points, are the Browns scoring 30?
I don't know. I have really gone back and forth on this, and I knew it was probably going to be in the mix. So last year, Kansas City was 4-6 at home against the spread last year because people thought like this, because they're like, oh, it's the Chiefs. And they remember they had like a bunch of weirdly close games all season. Like, they were frustrating to bet on because they were so talented. It just never felt like they put their foot on the gas.
Like, they were up 9 against the Panthers. And then just kind of let them score under 2 minutes.
Yeah, that happened a lot.
It was stuff like that.
Yeah, and they clearly were the better team, obviously. And I thought about this a bit. So last year, people who were betting the Browns are probably remembering the AFC Championship, or was it divisional, whatever it was.
Divisional round, yeah.
Yeah, it was the first round of for the Chiefs at home. The Chiefs were up 19-3 and dominating. And then Mahomes went out with that concussion and Chad Henne came in, and then it was close. I do think that – I think these are the two best teams in the league right now, honestly. Like, I think that Cleveland's roster – we've talked about this on every podcast we've done this offseason, Jeff. Their roster, aside from Baker Mayfield, is the most complete in the whole league. I think the additions to the secondary are huge, so they could keep this thing close. But I actually, like – I mean, yes, it's the public play, but the number actually is dropping. Like, it's moving to 6. Even with just like a little bit of the money coming in on the Browns, it's only a 5% difference between the bets and the money. So I don't know. I'm very conflicted. You could talk me into either side.
Well, I'm not taking the Browns plus 6. I promise you that. You know, the bet here will be Kansas City minus 6. But again, I'm not really, I don't know. It's such a public play. But sometimes that's not. I just think the Chiefs are on a mission this year to prove that Super Bowl isn't who they are. And the reason you would doubt them is the offensive line this year, right? Five new guys playing against the Browns' defensive line. And that's certainly a concern. But I think they look good this preseason. They actually played their starters. I keep telling you this. I think it's important. Defensively, look, Honey Badger may or may not play. That's an important note. The Browns have three new pieces to start in the secondary, possibly, right? They have the two guys signed in free agency, plus Greg Newsom. They drafted, so they have new parts against the Chiefs in week one. Yep. Remember, the Chiefs would have scored on 6 straight drives in the playoff game had not been for a missed field goal. The Browns did not stop them at all in that game. The Chiefs did not play well in the red zone, but the red zone issue should be fixed with a better offensive line. That's not to get into the weeds too much, but that's a big reason why teams are good in the red zone, your offensive line. So I think the Kansas City minus 6 is the play here, but I don't know if I like it more than some other plays we have here.
Yeah. I'll put it in the mix. I'd like to consider it. You've talked me into it. I think Cleveland might end up being, they could end up being the number one seed in the conference still and lose this game. Like it's very possible. You mentioned all the new pieces. Let's make it a maybe. Yeah.
Yes.
Moving on, this is another good 4 o'clock game. One I'll be very interested in. Denver at the Giants. Denver's laying 3. What an interesting line, man. Like I don't know. What do you think here?
I bet Denver minus 1 or minus 1.5. I'm on the Broncos here, and I'll explain why. Yeah, it's very simple, man. The Broncos have an elite pass rush and elite defense, right, with Fangio. Patrick Surtain looks like the real deal. The Giants are not going to score in this game very much. Their offensive line is a wreck right now. Daniel Jones did not look good in the limited action we saw in the preseason. I'm not even sure the reports from practice were all that good. I do have concerns about the Broncos scoring. I think the under is definitely a play in this game. But I think the Broncos with Teddy Bridgewater will be very, very methodical, right? Run the football. The Broncos have weapons, right? Jerry Jeudy, Sutton, Noah Fant's going to play. I like the Broncos minus 3. I wouldn't go over 3. I wouldn't go over 3 at all. Like if there's a 3.5 sell in heartbeat. But I like Denver minus 3. I mean, going from 1.5 to 3, in my opinion, where I got the original wager at, was not enough to move me off that opinion. It gets to 3.5. We'll have a different chat. But another thing here, Giants 4-9-1 against a spread at MetLife the last 12 games. They do not play well at home. Fangio's good as a dog. Now, last year, he wasn't favored at all in 2020, but they were he was 9-5 in his last 14 last year. But I'm just... this is like an anti-Giants offensive line wager here, where I think the Broncos suffocate the Giants offense.
We texted about this one too, and I've come around to your side here. I actually don't think this will move to 3.5 because it's hanging at 3 and a bunch of sharp money came in, and now it's about evenly split on the money despite 62% of the bets on Denver. So I think this is probably going to hold at 3, and I'm willing to go against the sharps here for the reasons you said. And one other thing, the Giants best case scenario that they come together this season and they're actually good, it's not happening in week one. It's just not. Like, Barkley, we're still hearing all these things. Like, maybe he's good enough. Like, we don't know. Like, his health. Kenny Galladay said that he expects them to come out a little bit slowly because he says, guys have been in and out of the lineup. We might be a little slow to get off. That's not a great thing to say. I also read a report from a beat writer that Galladay can't catch a ball in practice against the secondary of his own team, which is very concerning for the top paid receiver in free agency this year. I think that this is the chance to fade the Giants. Like, I think they're actually getting respected a little bit here, despite being home dogs. You mentioned them at home. Daniel Jones, 1-7 against the spread in the AFC. Let's do it, man. Let's fade your former Giants.
Let's do it. I'm all in. So we got four right now. We have Seattle, Washington, Houston, and Denver. We're looking for one more, and we got some more we can talk about at the end. But let's continue going here.
Let's do it. So great game here, played in Jacksonville, unfortunately. Shout out to our listeners in New Orleans. Hope everyone's all right. Green Bay at quote-unquote Saints. It's now at 3.5 for the Packers as neutral site favorites. Totals at 50. The Jameis Winston era begins.
Yeah, I don't have a feel for this one, man. Do you have a feel for this game? I mean, it's you know, they allegedly chose Florida for the hot weather because of Aaron Rodgers. Who knows if that's actually true? But it's moved outside now. You have the kind of the hurricane in how are players' mindsets in this game. You know, there was a long protracted thing with Rodgers in the offseason. All the money's on Green Bay. I don't have a great idea for this game. Do you?
No, I don't. Public's on Green Bay. We should specify that the money is about split. Good luck, Sharps. Back Jameis Winston. Like, it's not for me.
I would say if they were at home getting 3.5 with the fans being back in the crowd, I might lean in with the Saints. But you're not playing at home. You're playing in Jacksonville. So yeah. I can't do it. I'm off this one.
Yeah, Green Bay last year covered and won all their September games. They usually come out strong, but this is a tough opponent, and I think that, you know, Sean Payton is he's a tough one to go against. So that's a pass because we're not taking the Saints.
Correct.
No chance.
Correct.
Our next game, the Dolphins at the Patriots. They feel like they play week one every year. The Patriots are laying the 3, low total. I feel like this is going to be a slugfest. What's your read?
So I love the under in this game, 43.5. I'm surprised it's even that high. You know, look, New England starts Mac Jones against Brian Flores' defense. New England in general, I think this year is gonna want to run the football, is gonna want to play great defense, play action pass. They're not trying to be an explosive offense, right? On the flip side, Tua and the Dolphins offense kind of looked mad in the preseason. Their left tackle was out, who wasn't any good, so the backup is now in. The Patriots front seven, they revamped it, looked pretty good in the preseason. They played a lot in the preseason, Matt. I think the lean here will be New England -3, but not. I can't do that with Mac Jones' first game, but I love the under in this game. If I were to take one side this week, one total this week, it would be this.
I love that. Great tip. Rookie quarterback, week one, tough defense. I agree. This feels like a little bit of a stay away to me. I also am not sure how good Tua is. We'll learn a lot about him pretty quickly. Miami was much better at home against the spread last year. One of the best teams against the spread, period. But they were 7-1 at home and 4-4 against the spread on the road. I like the Patriots, I think, with the 3, but not enough to go in on it.
Yeah, I'm in agreement there. So the under is I think certainly the play here.
Yeah, certainly the play. I like that. The everyone's all over the over in this because it's one of the lower totals of the week, but I like it, Jeff.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we're in prime time. Sunday night, the Andy Dalton led Bears, we'll see for how long, are playing the Rams. The Rams are laying 7.5 and are a popular survivor pick this week. Any trepidation for you with the Rams hosting the Bears?
Yeah, I think it's too many points for an offense that we haven't seen function all in the preseason. I think the Rams can be really good. I like you convinced me to take their over this year. I think that's actually a really good wager. But Matt, I don't know what we're getting from their offense. I haven't seen it yet. There's going to be some regression on defense. And Dolan's not bad. The Bears' offensive line is bad. But I don't know. This feels like we have much better wagers than laying 7.5 at home with the Rams. Maybe I'm crazy.
No, you're not crazy. I would buy it at 7. 7.5 feels like a lot. I do think that this could turn into kind of a blowout, but the Bears defense could show up and keep this kind of close. That's sort of what they do. Yeah, it's a pass for me. 6.5, love it. 7, okay. 7.5, no thanks.
I am in agreement there. All right. One, I think we have one more game this Monday Night Football, right? There's only one Monday Night Football game now, right?
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer. Although, let's be honest, you and I are both asleep for the second game usually.
Yes.
So the Ravens, road favorites. Over that key number of three, they're four at the moment. They're at the Raiders. What do you? I mean, I'm not going to be able to talk you into the Raiders, right?
Oh, no chance. I would have taken the Ravens, but there's just too much noise with the Ravens. I can't. This is too much noise. There's running back issues and offensive line issues, and I mean the thing about the Raiders here, Matt, is like what are they? Are they going to score a bunch of points in this game? Are they going to stop the Ravens' rushing attack? Like, they just haven't shown to be any good.
What's the rushing attack, though? Like, we don't know what Lamar looks like.
That's my point about why this is a stay away for me. Because the Ravens could come out and just roll out any running back they want and be just fine. But I don't know. But I don't trust the Raiders here anyways. Like, Harbaugh is very good early in the season against the spread. And I think that he continues that trend most likely here. And I just don't trust John Gruden. He's just not the better coach here.
Yeah, that's a bit of a problem.
Okay, so here we go. Ravens, are you ready? The Ravens are 22-11-1 against the spread on the road since 2017, covering 15 of those games by double digits.
I mean, the Ravens are great. I think that I mentioned that stat about last year and how road favorites early in the season, especially these big public teams against teams that people are down on, tend to disappoint. This feels like one of them to me. If you're still listening to this show and you open up your desired betting platform and it says 5 or 5.5 for the Raiders, this number is all over the place. It's moved since we planned the show. Go for it. Like, you've got my full blessing. This is a game where if Baltimore is going to stumble this season, it happens in this one, right? Lamar Jackson, we just don't know what he's going to look like. He's obviously had COVID before. He might recover really well. Who knows? Gus Edwards, everyone's like, you know, fantasy drafts, everyone's like, cool, Gus Edwards, he's going to be awesome. Like, is he? Their backup is currently Lev Bell, who's on the practice squad, and Tyson Washington? Williams? Washington? He's on my fantasy team, I should know. Undrafted rookie who we haven't seen play before. Sammy Watkins, their number one receiver. Let's see if he can make it through a game. They have nobody on their offense, right? And they lost some key pieces on the defense. Like, they're a mess. And let's remember, this is the Raiders' first game in Las Vegas with fans. The fans are going to be crazy on Monday night. This is the kind of game that John Gruden can win and go to Mark Davis and be like, see, 10 years, 100 million, worth it. Like, I feel like this is a chance to fade the Ravens with the points. I'm a little bit tempted to take them on the money line because the odds the Raiders are going to be tasty. But I know that you have no chance that you're going to be on this.
So we have one spot left. Would you rather put the Raiders or the Chiefs in this spot? I would go with the team that I know is very good in the Chiefs.
So let's recap our four.
So we have Seattle -2.5, a road favorite. Washington and Houston both at home, right? Washington +1, Houston +3. Denver -3, a road favorite. I just feel like we need a home.
I think I might like the Falcons, to be honest, over both of them. Like, to go against Sirianni for just laying the three.
That's fine with me. I'll go back to the well with my Falcons.
I feel like generally you're right early in the season. I feel like we just need to get off them fast because everyone's going to jump on them.
We actually start fast. The middle of the season pretty sucky, and we finish strong.
That's right. We take our eye off the ball.
But yeah, I'm good with playing Atlanta here. I would love. I know we're not playing totals, but the total in the Patriots Dolphins game, like, it just screams to me a wager that I would love to make. But obviously, we're not doing that here. So we have our college plays, our NFL plays. Matt, welcome, buddy. We're rolling ahead, man. We are full steam ahead on NFL and college gambling this year. Thank you for following me. Please rate, review, subscribe, and have a great weekend, everyone.